song of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple.
Welcome to The Simple Truth. You did not tune in by accident. This show is dedicated to all believers in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like there's something missing from your walk with the Lord? Are you tired of being deceived? Then you've come to the right place. Grab your Bible and let us introduce you to the real Jesus. Our mission is to help you unravel the Scriptures and gain a greater understanding of God's Word, showing you how the Old and the New Testaments mesh together so perfectly. All of life's questions are answered in God's Word. So throw out any preconceived notions and any traditions of man, and join us as we search for God's truth. This is what you've been looking for.
Well, greetings, friends. We got Mark and Ted back again today. We've got a great show we are continuing on with. It's What Must We Do to Inherit Eternal Life? Of course, that is the $10 million question. That's what everybody wants to know. Let's pick it up where we left off Friday.
Yeah, we were proving that Jesus was the God that was operating in the Old Testament. Of course, he was actually operating on the Father's will. The Father was working through Jesus. I'm not saying that Jesus was the only one. I wanted to give God the Father the credit, because he gets the ultimate credit, because Jesus always does the complete will of the Father.
That's right. He said everything he said and did was because his Father instructed him to. So here's a question, Ted. When people talk about Scripture, we read about Scripture, which we're going to do in the New Testament, what books are those talking about? Let's read the verse, and then let's talk about what this Scripture is.
2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
So does that mean like Timothy, well, Paul wrote this to Timothy, but does that mean he was telling him like Revelations, as a...
No, the New Testament wasn't put together yet when this was written. So this was referring to the Old Testament.
You mean the Old Testament, the book that most Christians reject, or not, well, I shouldn't say reject, but disregard. You'll see New Testament, such and such church, New Covenant, such and such church. What people don't realize is that in the New Testament, when you read about Scripture, it's talking about Genesis through, well, depending on which order you go, Malachi, Chronicles. But anyhow, it's talking about what we refer to today as the Old Testament. That is what Scripture is. That is the Scripture that Jesus read. Jesus didn't read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
No, and in fact, the New Testament is old of quotes from the Old Testament. And in fact, if you really studied it hard, you'd probably find about two-thirds of it coming right out of the Old Testament.
Now, that isn't to say that the New Testament is not inspired by God, because I believe it is. However, when we're talking about Scripture, and you're reading about Scripture in the New Testament, you have to remember that the New Testament did not exist at this time. This was put in together many decades after Jesus was crucified. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. It says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come."
Paul here is talking about the things that are written in the Old Testament. So here he's saying these are all profitable for us. So, if you're, a follower of Paul, which is good, and Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Jesus," then that the Old Testament is vital for you today.
Go ahead.
But you know, again, I reiterate, all 66 books of the Bible are vital for Christians to study and take heed to. But, you know, let me clear up one little point. You know, none of us are actually, you know, saved yet. But, you know, if we are converted and if we have received the Holy Spirit, our salvation is assured, as long as we don't turn our back to Him. You know, the once saved, always saved doctrine, it's just false. And but it is a daily struggle to overcome the flesh, and Paul describes it as fighting the good fight and running a race. Let's read from John chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So, you know, in other words, if we're still in the flesh, you know, we haven't been saved yet.
That's right. But if we have God's Holy Spirit, we can be assured of our future salvation. It's not like we got to say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You know, you can rest assured that when Jesus returns, he will be coming for you if you have repented of your sins and you love him. Now, John tells us that Jesus is a direct quote from Jesus, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So are you doing what he says to do if you love him? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So here we have his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of what is in store for us.
And then Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." See, we're promised all throughout that when we have the Holy Spirit, we will be saved. And then Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So, you know, if we have God's Holy Spirit when we die or when Jesus returns, we will be saved. But just how do we get the Holy Spirit?
Ah, excellent question. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'"
That's a repent. That's a very important word, because that's the very first thing that you must do to get the Holy Spirit. But, you know, people responding to an altar call, sometimes they're not given that message, but, it, you know, it's extremely important. Let's read from Acts 3:19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So to get the Holy Spirit, we need to be baptized and repent of our sins. It also helps to have what we call the laying on of hands. We can read about this in Acts 8:17.
Well, actually, more than helps, it's a requirement. You know, if you were baptized and you didn't have the laying on of hands, your baptism is not complete. You need to go back and have this done.
Well, we can read about that in Acts 8, verse 17. "Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." So, you know, this is what you do to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't need to, you know, attend tarry meetings. You know, that's where they use sleep deprivation, and they cause you to enter a delusional state. And they say, and some people think that's the way to receive the Holy Spirit.
No, and you don't repeat a phrase over and over again, hum-de-la-la-kum, 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 and then pretty soon you hypnotize yourself into this trance state and garbage spews out of your mouth that you have no idea of what it, you know. The witch doctors in Africa do this type of thing. It's a type of hypnosis. That's not, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit.
But, you know, there are some conditions of where God has to, where he will give you the Holy Spirit. You know, like we said, repent, you know, before. And then also, we need to obey him. Let's look at Hebrews 5, verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And then in Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him.
So God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. What does it mean to obey Jesus? Obeying Jesus shows God that you love him. This is what I referred to earlier. It's John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments.
And then 1 John 2:4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, you know, for the people who think they don't need to keep the commandments, how do you reconcile this verse? And then let's look on to Luke 18, starting at verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. You know, well, did you get this here? You know, someone's asking how they get eternal life, and Jesus is saying, you know the commandments. In other words, you keep the commandments.
That's right. You know, now I've had people tell me, well, he didn't say nothing about the Sabbath in there. Well, that's true. And let me see, what else didn't he say anything about? Oh, here's one. He didn't say anything about you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Does that mean you can do that?
No way.
No.
So he didn't repeat all Ten Commandments here, but that other, the ones he didn't mention are abrogated.
And then what happened is the guy says, well, I've done these since, you know, my youth, and he says, well, then sell all that you have and give it to the poor. He was showing that he had not kept the commandments. He was coveting, he was lusting his money, and it was another God in front of him. You know, his money was his God, and he said, you got to get rid of this. You got to get rid of your God. And says that the young man went away very sorrowful. Well, why? Because he couldn't do it. Jesus told him to keep the Ten Commandments to inherit eternal life. He couldn't do it, so he walked away very sorrowful. And that is the same thing that happens to so many people today. They find out you have to keep the Ten Commandments. God expects us to keep this document, the only document that he wrote himself with his own finger in stone that symbolized it would never change. And people want to reject that. And then if they find out that God expects them to keep it, they walk away very sorrowful because they just refuse to do it. They think that they have to live in rebellion. They say, well, I can't do that. Well, why not? Why can't you do that? Well, Saturday's the day that that I cut my grass. Well, cut it on Sunday, you know? You got a job that requires you to work on Saturday? Why would you want that job? Go find you one that'll give you off on God's holy Sabbath. If my boss came to me and told me, you can't have the Sabbath off anymore, I wouldn't want to work for that company anymore. You know, there are just certain things. So I guess we'll have to continue this tomorrow. In the meantime, here's how you get in touch with us. The Seventh-day Church of God, the sponsor of the Simple Truth Show, meets every Sabbath, that's Saturday, at 2:30 in the afternoon. We are not like any church service you have ever attended. Is something missing in your relationship with God? Has God put a burning desire in your heart for you to draw near to Him? Do you need help in learning how to do that? We are located at 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. That's 6636 Central Avenue Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Central Point Business Park. This is just south of Callahan Road on Central Avenue Pike. exit I-75 at the Callahan Road exit. That's one exit just north of Merchants Drive. The church is in the north side of the building.